Good morning. Welcome to Becoming a Dad Podcast. Good morning. Welcome to episode 7. There is no question of the week this week, so we're going to jump right into topic, which is going to be love and intimacy. Now, once you have kids, lots is going to change, but one of those is going to be frequency of intimacy or sex and the way that you express love. Now, whether it's directly or indirectly, once you have kids, there's almost always something that the kid is going to need. Whether it's hands-on in that moment, the kid needs to be held, needs feeding, burping, changing, something. Or it's indirectly. Messes need to be cleaned up, food needs to be prepped, laundry needs to be done. It's the first 5 minutes that you've got to where you're not being touched or needed or cried at, so you're just sitting there on the couch. That's all stuff that's needed to help take care of the child, but it's an indirect way that you provide for the child. Because of all of that, there is definitely going to be some change in love and intimacy. Now, for me, I'm not sure how many people have read the 5 Love Languages book by Gary Chapman. It's a great read if you're in a relationship, if you're getting married, if you're already married, and you're not sure that you're communicating love in the best way. It's an amazing book. It'll help you tremendously. My wife and I have both read it. We do not have the same love language, so I can now communicate love to her better, knowing how to do so. There are things that I was doing prior to reading this book, and I'm thinking, this is how I'm showing you love. Why do you not feel love? Why do you feel like Why is your love cup not full? Why is your need not being met? This book really helped me to see that. It also really helped me to communicate how I feel loved. Because once I understood how I feel and perceive love, I'm able to communicate my need better to my wife. There are times where I felt like I wasn't getting my needs met and I wasn't getting my love cup filled. And just like any other cup, if you continue to take from it without ever replenishing, the cup will eventually run out. Now, if you've ever been in a spot where you were very, very low in the love cup, where you're the reservoir of love is running low, it's a bad place to be. It's a rough spot to be in. Communication starts to break down. Things become almost always irritating, and then starts fights. Luckily, before it got to a point of no return, of no redemption, someone introduced me to the 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Told me it's worth the read. Read the book. Take the assessment. Figure out what your love language is. Tell your wife. Read the book. Take the assessment. Figure out what her love language is. Figure out how to communicate better. Figure out how you can show your love to her without having it to be, without communicate your love to her in her language instead of communicating it to her in your language. If you haven't read it, no matter what stage of life you're in, it's totally worth the read. I would suggest either buying the hard copy, just going online and taking the five love languages test. It's available online. You can take it. You can figure out what your love language is. If you've taken it and it was in a different stage of life, before kids, after kids, while your kids were young, while your kids were grown. Now that if you have adult kids and you now live and it's just you and your spouse in the house again, take it again. Your love languages may have changed over the years. The way that you perceive love or need love always changes. So take it again. Totally worth it. Now, in my specific instance, the way that I communicate love for my wife, so my love language is primarily physical touch and quality of time or quality time together. Hers is quality time together, acts of service, sprinkled in with a little bit of gifts, depending on the day and attitude. Me spending an hour with my wife watching one of her TV shows her more love than if I wake up and I give her a full minute hug and try to kiss her a bunch of times. It's better for her, it's easier for her to receive that love if it's me spending the quality time with her or doing acts of service. Now, the reason that I'm talking about this, bringing up this issue, is because it's something that's changed. Having two kids, two young kids, the way that I show love for my wife and the way that I communicate love and receive love has changed drastically. Like I said, my primary love language was physical touch. Still my primary love language. But since taking the test, I can see how she will try to communicate love. She is, when I say try to communicate love, she is communicating love. She's just trying it in different languages to see which one helps the most. Now, in our instance, there are times where just doing laundry, it's like, okay, I need to have the uniform ready for work and it's already late. So by the time I get home and I'm gonna take care of this, it's like, okay, well, that's another 2 hours that I have to make sure that I'm awake and that I have to actually, do the wash machine, switch it. So I get home and she's already done it, and then she has my uniform for work laid out. That's showing love. It wasn't, maybe she already had to do the laundry. Maybe she was already planning to do the laundry, but that she took the time and extra attention to find the uniform, make sure it got washed, and then to lay it out where I didn't have to worry about it. That's showing love. It's going above and beyond the basic act of doing laundry and committing an act of service for me so that I don't have to do something. It's taking something off my plate that makes her job, whether it's more difficult or not more difficult, it makes her job more involved. And she is now doing something that makes my life easier. Acts of service. If she knows that I've been going all day long for multiple days, tired, she can tell because I start getting more irritated. My fuse gets a little shorter. The other day, she was like, all right, tomorrow I'm gonna get up with the kids. You sleep in. Once you wake up, and once the kids go down for a nap, I'll go down for a nap. So that way we trade off. She knows that it's been busy, difficult. She knows that I'm tired. So she preferred me. She let me sleep in. I got the first shift of more sleep. I got to sleep in. I didn't have to wake up with the kids. I didn't have to prepare breakfast for my son. I didn't have to make sure the bottles were done or that the dishwasher was emptied. She handled all that. Now, for my wife, her love languages were quality time together, acts of service, and then gifts. Now, if you have kids, you understand that they require a lot, and a lot of that is at a monetary value, a financial added burden. So the gifts has slowed down a little bit, and I need to do better about that. The random flowers, the random flowers, the little cards, the little knickknacks that let her know that I was thinking of you today when I was at the store. Those are all things that I need to do better at. I know I need to do better. Quality time, every night after the kids go to sleep, my wife and I are able to have some quality time together. We watch a TV show, we watch a movie, we cook dinner together, we clean up dinner together, we make sure that the dishwasher started. All of that is not necessarily great quality time, because obviously it's tasks and it's chores and things for the house, but we're doing it together. But if I could sit down with her and watch an entire episode of one of her TV shows, or if I can sit there on the couch while she does a puzzle, watches a book, crochets, even if we're not interacting and talking specifically to each other, being there in the room with her, undistracted by the world outside our house, is quality time. So things have changed a little bit. Now, with kids, the quality time we spend together might be folding laundry, it might be watching a movie, might be bath time. There's lots of things that we can do to spend time together. And of course, it is still important in any marriage to still be intimate and physical with each other. It's one of the things that separates from just being like a best friend and being married. But that doesn't happen as often. Now that you have kids, now that we have kids, it makes it a little bit more special when it does happen. Sometimes it has to be planned. Sometimes it's spontaneous. I think it's important to get a mixture of both. It's also important to have both people initiating. Obviously, it feels great to be wanted and it feels great to be pursued. I love pursuing my wife. I love trying to romance her. I love flirting with her. I try to keep the spark alive. Try to keep up with things that I used to do when we were dating. I know I have fallen short on a couple of things multiple times. Babe, I'm sorry, I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna fall short on other things and on the same things again. That's just, it's human nature. I'm trying to do better. I know one thing I need to work on is prioritizing alone time, setting up dates, doing more to facilitate that. But alone time doesn't necessarily have to be going out and getting food and going on a date. Alone time could be after the kids go to sleep. Alone time could be while they're napping. Alone time could be 15 minutes where we just get to have a adult conversation, not about the kids, while we're hanging out with people. Our kids are beautiful, and if we go places and we are hanging out with friends or family, people want to hold them. Well, if both of our kids are being watched by others or being held by others, it's okay to just say, hey, could you give us like 5 minutes so we can go have a conversation? Just check in. If you've been noticing things like the person, your partner is stressed or they seem a little off, just, hey, can you give us 5 minutes to go talk? We need this minute. Go talk to them. Just check in and be like, hey, I'm sensing this. Is it wrong or is there something I can do to help you alleviate that? Hey, I'm sensing that I haven't been filling your love cup. Is there something I can do to replenish what I've taken out? Is there something I can do to show you love? It doesn't need to be a big grand gesture. It's not the big things that make a life. It's the small everyday moments that you choose to do over and over again. I was watching a video of an interview recently, and a woman was going over the reasons why she was divorced, or getting a divorce. And at the end of the video, she said, it's not a big thing that'll cause a divorce. It's the thousand small things that you're doing that when it's brought to your attention, you don't change. So it doesn't have to be some big old grand gesture to prove your love either. It could just be listening. And I don't mean hearing the words they're saying. I mean active listening, listening to what they're telling you and coming up with a plan to take action and change. Or complete what they're telling you. I still try to do that. I still need to do that with some things. There are things that I've fallen short on just this past week. So, intimacy has changed a lot since having kids, not just in frequency and duration, but how I show intimacy, the way that I receive intimacy, the way my wife receives intimacy, the way that she receives love, the way she feels loved, it changes. I know my wife loves, after a long week, it's now a Friday, she's burnt out, she's overstimulated, she's had it up to her eyeballs in crying, fussy kids, poopy diapers. She is just overstimulated, overtouched, overneeded. In that moment, she doesn't want physical intimacy the same way I would. I'm thinking it's Friday, it's been a long week, I'm ready to get down with my partner. She's thinking, I just want to not be touched or needed for 30 minutes. And in that moment, do I attempt physical intimacy And then if she refuses or if she says she's not in the mood, of course, like, it's not what I want to hear. So then do I get upset and do I get moody? No, that's not showing her love in the way that she needs it. I could take that 30 minutes. I can watch the kids. I can hang out with them. It's alone time with me and the kids now. It's if you look at it as, hey, I haven't been able to spend quality time with my son in a week because of work, and by the time I get home, he's ready to go to sleep. Well, now I have 30 minutes that I could almost uninterrupted spend with him, playing and like creating memories. And I could just tell my wife, hey, I have the kids. Go sit in our room, watch a YouTube video that you want to watch. Go practice your crocheting. Go talk on the phone with your mom without being interrupted. Go take a nap. Any of those things to where she gets what she needs. She gets that alone time. She gets the recharge. She gets calm, peaceful time. So, yeah, the way that love and intimacy happens around the house has definitely changed now. I love my kids. I wouldn't change anything, but it's part of growing and becoming a father and realizing these differences, making adjustments, making changes to the normal schedule, to the way that we interact. All of these things go into how I love my wife. So, right, we will move on and let's get to a potty.
Parents on the internet.
This week for potty, we are going to the fine state of Arkansas. The title of the article is Arkansas Man Arrested on Charges of Piercing Teen Son's Ear. Toneytown police officers accused Jeremy Sherland of violating state laws that ban body art on anyone under 16. Arkansas police arrested a man accused of piercing his teen son's ear in alleged violation of state laws against various forms of body art, authorities said Sunday. Officers booked Jeremy Sherland on suspicion of performing a body piercing on a minor under 16, endangerment of a minor, and resisting arrest. The investigation was touched off on Thursday when the suspect's son told classmates he had let his left ear pierced, Lee said, while sitting in class talking with other students. And a teacher present at the juvenile male stated his dad was drunk and put him in a chokehold and shoved a piercing in his ear. Sherland refused to talk to officers when they first went to his home before they huddled with Washington County prosecutors and returned to make the arrest. Video of the arrest appeared to show four police officers pushing their way into a home and handcuffing the man. So the link to the article is in the episode description. Now, I don't see a video in the article. I'm sure we could probably find this somewhere online, but initially you read the headline that a man was arrested for piercing his son's ear. And you think that doesn't make sense. Why would you get arrested for that? It's just, or if the state has a law against body art, why would the dad be arrested? Because in most, like in my state, if you're 16, you can get a piercing. You just have to have your parents' consent. Parents have to sign a form, be there with you, sign the form. Really not a big deal. So if you want to get your ears pierced, if you want to. Same goes for a tattoo, I think. I have to research that one to be sure. But it Like, you would think an ear piercing really doesn't make that big of a difference. Like, what does it matter? But then you read through the article and you find out that it's really different than what was being said, actually. You see that it was a drunken moment where a dad forcefully holds his son down and then pierces his ear by shoving a piercing through it. Now, that totally understand. That shouldn't be allowed. That should be illegal. You shouldn't be able to hold someone down and pierce their ear by force. Also, it just doesn't, like, I personally, like, the piercing of the ears, okay. It doesn't bother me. Male, female, whatever. Doesn't matter. You want to pierce your ears, pierce your ears. I don't think anyone should be forced to pierce their ears if they haven't had that opportunity to talk through it. So, like, in the case of my daughter, she is 4.5 months old. She has her ears pierced. Now, she didn't make that decision. My wife and I made that decision for her, but we made it for her at 4 months old. She doesn't understand ear piercings, and it hurts much less for her now to do it now than it does when she's 16. The healing time and the recovery is much quicker now than when she's 16. But it's not, we didn't hold her down. We weren't drunk when we did it. We didn't do it. We took her to a professional, and the professional did it. The professional used sterile equipment, used high-end, not high-end, but like hypoallergenic good jewelry, so you don't have to worry about the infections or the oxidization of the metal. It's not going to green the skin around her, the piercing. But if my daughter decides, when she's old enough to think through this, talk through this, do it, my daughter decides, I don't want my ears pierced, that's fine. She can take them out and her ears won't be pierced. And I'm not going to force her to keep the piercings. This just seems like it's an attention-grabbing headline. Dad arrested for piercing son's ear. Because you don't know all the facts. It's what happens is they don't tell you all the facts until you read through it. It wasn't just dad was arrested for piercing his son's ear. Dad was arrested for being drunk and forcefully, like, he was drunk and he forcefully pierced his son's ear, and he didn't do it with like a needle. Or at least the article doesn't say he did it with a needle. The article says he forced the piercing through his ear. So it's also not a very safe, the general way that the ears are pierced. So at least we're not this dad, right?
Can we finish this? I'm bored.
That is it for episode 7. Today we are ending, like always, with a classic dad joke. What is the astronaut's favorite part of a computer? The space bar. All right, come back next week. I know it's been delayed. Next week, special episode. My wife being interviewed, so you are going to get to hear questions I'm asking my wife about motherhood, how she wanted to be a mother, how she feels being a mother, how this has affected her, changed her. So come back next week. That episode will be coming on Friday. All right. We're out.